This is the second part of our Lord's missionary discourse. Same thing, you see. People have to know. But this one is directed to the apostles. Notice he's talking to his apostles. The word apostle means somebody sent, an ambassador. It's a key word. So these are people, you know, talking, you're sent. Now, everybody's sent in one way, and yet some are sent in a particular way. Look, I'm sending you like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents. And our translation has simple, probably better to say guileless as doves. What does that mean? You see, our Lord says, be this way, be this way. But we can't be that way without His grace, without His work in us. But be alert. This is what I want to work in you. To be shrewd as a serpent means to know what's in the heart of man. And how do we know that? We know what's in our own heart. Once you can see the complexity, the guile, the boasting, the resistance to good that we can see in ourselves, we know what's going on. But then there's the other part. Knowing the grace of God to change us means that we can be guileless and rely on God. There's hope for us all. Otherwise, you're just a New Yorker. You know, everybody's got an angle, so you watch yourself. Well, that's not bad. I'm a New Yorker. But it's only half of it. The other half is, look what Christ has done for me. And He can do this for everybody. And I don't have to defend myself, and I don't have to exaggerate. And you see, this is the work of the Holy Spirit in us, to bring us to know the love of Jesus. And then I don't have to exaggerate, I don't have to boast, I don't have to be, I can just be guileless and witness to Jesus Christ. So, you see, there's two sides of the same thing. Being shrewd and being guileless both depend on self-knowledge. And self-knowledge is a gift. See, introspection is a work of the flesh. What's wrong with me? My mother dropped me on my head when I was two, and you know, this works this way and this works that way. And that's introspection. Self-knowledge is a gift. And it comes through prayer. And it comes through that kind of prayer by which we actually examine our conscience. And we look to see, and the Holy Spirit guides that. And then we see where we sin. And as we repent and come to know the forgiveness of Christ, will guile us. What have I got to hide? What have I got to defend? What have I got to exaggerate? Nothing. So that's the first piece of advice. There are many things here, many separate sayings of Jesus in this discourse as Matthew has assembled it. But beware of men. They'll hand you over to courts, scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be led before governors and kings. Isn't that what happened to Jesus? So what he's saying is, what happens to me will happen to you. And that's just as a witness before them and the pagans. Paul himself says, you know, it's not a bad idea that I'm in jail, because now people are saying, what's he in jail for? Well, he's preaching this Jesus guy. And all of a sudden, his name gets known. Paul's happy about that. And so this will happen to you as a witness before them and the pagans. So then, when they hand you over, don't worry. Now, you can easily see what our Lord... If our Lord just said, if they hand you over, don't worry. What good would it do us? We'd worry like crazy. You're in jail, you know what's going to happen next. I mean, you see, he's saying, I'm there. And if you turn to me, you will worry. On our own, we'll be scared stiff. Don't worry. Don't worry about how you're to speak or what you're to say. Why? Because you will be given at that moment what you are to say. Because this is a solemn, remember, supernatural activity. We are preaching the reality of God and His plan for the whole human race and the accessibility of Jesus Christ, who is God, God incarnate. You want to get up and give a speech on that? We can't. That's the work of Christ in us. That's the work of the Spirit. And so He tells us, you will be given at that moment what you are to say, for it will not be you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Now do you see why we got to practice? Practice yielding to the Holy Spirit. You know, we spend a lot of our day very impulsively. Some of us are impulsive fast. Some of us are impulsive slow. But we're still impulsive. We're doing. Whatever we darn well please. How are we going to practice yielding to the Holy Spirit? Do you see what it takes? It takes great self-discipline, which we don't have. And therefore, we have to pray and yield and want it and talk to Jesus. You know, as I watch, I'm privileged because I talk to a lot of people who are trying to give their lives to Jesus. And it gives me a great chance to see what He's doing. The more people give their lives to Jesus, the more they grow. In our era, the more they pray. I know housewives who get up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day to pray. And they're very holy. They got a bunch of kids, they got a house to clean, I mean, they got a lot of stuff to do. The more we yield to the Lord, the more we pray. Why? Because you see, my friends, there's very little right now that's going to sustain us in our life of faith. Just about nothing in the culture. Nothing. Did you ever open up the newspaper, front page, the news of the day? Jesus Christ died for all men. Is that what you see on the front page? But isn't that the most important truth of the day? And if we're not smart, we'll be swept right along. Biggest news of the day is whatever it is, you know. One of these little girls, again, is in jail for something or whatever, you know. Ridiculous stuff. Keep us excited, distracted. Now, I watch, it seems to be, at this moment, as people give themselves to God, as the Lord takes over their life, they pray more and more. I see it in my own life. The Lord gets me up earlier and earlier. It's like He's got to train us. He's got to teach us. He's got to come and move into our life. So don't worry. But we have to practice. Practice having the Spirit speak through us. So the next time you're mad, shut up. And let the Spirit work through you, talk through you, change your heart. I can't tell you how many angry movements or get blocked by the Holy Spirit in my life, you know, 300 a day, 500, I don't know. Because I give them a second to get in there before I start on my own emotions and my ideas and my blah, blah, blah. And it's amazing. Well, we got to practice. And then the last part of this is, the next to last part, is this allusion to a text in the prophecy of Micah about brother handing over brother to death and father his child. And he's saying, at the moment of great, if you want, eschatological crisis, there is going to be such confusion and such, you see, and such having to make choices. Listen, I'm the Lord. And then, he's talking now to these apostles who are going out and walking around. You know, we had a beautiful text the other day in the Magnificat about, imagine what this would be like. You got a few scruffy clothes on. You're not supposed to take anything, you know. So here you are with nothing, walking around. People are going to feed you. They're going to laugh at you. And go into all these towns and tell them that the kingdom of God is close. It's tangible. It's touchable. Tell them. What are you, some kind of nut? And what are you going to rely on? Only the Holy Spirit. You know, I used to think, you can't even go this way now, but I used to take the cheroot, one of these things, taxis, like, from Jerusalem up to, say, Nazareth. We'd go right through the middle of Israel, Samaria and all that. And on every mountain, little hill or whatever, there'd be a little village, Muslim. And I thought, why don't I just stop the cheroot, walk up the hill, and start to preach. You know, stumble through my tiny little bit of Arabic and tell them about you. That's what these guys are doing. Do you see how the Holy Spirit has to change our hearts so that we love enough, to care enough, to do what we have to do, to tell people about Jesus? And then he says, if they persecute you in one town, flee to another. Amen, I say, you will not finish the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. What can that possibly mean? What can that possibly mean? It means, did he come? Yes. He rose from the dead, the Son of Man. Yes, he's come. You will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. And yes. But yet, in another way, he hasn't come. We've still got a chance to evangelize all the villages of Israel and all of the world. All over the world. It's a very beautiful discourse. It's put together, as I say, from statements of Jesus, some of it at least, at various times. But there's a seriousness and there's a confidence. And our Lord is saying, I want you to be serious and I want you to be confident. And that happens with purity of heart.